70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Father, we know that you've heard them. Lord, we ask you now that you would deliver and set free according to your own will. And Father, give me clarity of thought, precision of speech, that when I speak, Lord, my tongue will be as the pen of a ready writer. And let the hearts of the hearers be the tablet in which I shall write upon the word of faith that brings healing and deliverance, power, peace, and prosperity to all that hear and believe. Lord, we thank you now. Thank you for the word of God that sustains us, strengthens us. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers, that cures, cleanses, and connects us to you, Lord. We thank you, God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who guides us and gives to us what belongs to you, that you share with us through him, and who also causes us to be able to love as you called us to love. We thank you, Lord. And Father, after you've done all you want to do in this service, Lord, after you've helped us and healed us and delivered us, Lord, we'll be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And Father, we will join in with the many-winged seraphim, the many-eyed cherubim, that chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You are holy, God. You are holy, and your glory fills the earth. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you, Lord. We praise your name. Amen. And then when they stand up, the Lord has spoke to me. You got a business, don't you? Now, you know you just told that man he had a business. Let me leave that alone. Let me get back to the word here. You found them to be lies, but the thing about it is that God recognizes the good you do. God recognizes the stuff that you keep right in your life. The way that you serve him, he recognizes that. If we're lazy, then he knows we're lazy. But then he recognized the church at Ephesus, and he says, look, I know you're not a lazy church. You've been doing the right things. You've been working hard. But then, guess what? Not only does he recognize them, but he rebukes them. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Well, let me go to verse 3 before I get down to that. Verse 3 says, in the recognition, he says, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not what? Fainted. He says, you borne the burden. Take my yoke upon you and what? Learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said, you're born, and he says, and have patience. You've waited. You've endured some things. And he says, and for my name's sake has labored. Just because of the name of Jesus, I'm laboring. I'm laboring in his name. I'm preaching in his name. I'm helping in his name. Not because I'm getting something out of it, but because the name is important to me. He said, and you have not fainted. Remember Jesus said man ought to always what? Pray and not faint. The fact that they had not fainted means that they had been praying. And so a church has to pray. We have to go back to prayer, church. We have to get to a place that we pray, not when something happens, but pray always. Amen. Verse 4 said, nevertheless, I have something against thee. Look at this. Now he's rebuking them. He said, you've done all of that, but I got a problem here. Because thou hast left thy first love. He rebukes them because the first thing in their life was, the first priority was not Christ. Oh, come on and say amen. They had lost their desire, their sensitivity. They had lost their unction. They lost their spark for God. Yeah. You see, what happened is we trade in our spark just to, you know, like David said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. We lose the spark of just being saved and being happy with that to, Lord, if you don't give me something, I just can't be happy. If you can't give me a man, I ain't going to be happy. If you can't give me a woman, I ain't going to be happy. If you can't give me a house, if you can't give me a $100,000 a year job, if you can't bless me, I can't be happy. Oh, come on and say amen. That's why so many people leave the church. And they don't say they left, but they leave spiritually. They're disconnected because now they're trying to find happiness somewhere else. Can't meet no man at church. Let me go to the club. Or the trail ride. Preach. Say it, preach, preacher. Let me go find somebody. And the Bible says, a man that findeth. Are you a wife? That's the question. Or are you just some woman? A wife is a wife anyway. You might not have been found yet, but you're still a wife. Oh, my Lord, help me today. I'm trying to help somebody in here. You know why? You know how you know your wife? Because when he sees her, that's my wife right there. You ain't married yet, but he recognizes you a wife. Help me, Holy Ghost. You feel like a wife. You handle yourself like a wife. You ain't just going to be running around with anybody because you say, I'm waiting on my husband. I ain't wasting time with this bozo because I'm waiting on Boaz. Preach. Y'all gonna keep me here too long. Somebody better quit thinking. Because all this coming because somebody thinking about this stuff. He said, nevertheless, I have something against you because you've left your first love. You're no longer sensitive. You've lost your warmth for me. You're doing something else. You're going through the motions. Sometimes we go through the motions of church. We show up, we make the number. We clap our hands, we say hallelujah, but we go out and we don't feel changed. We don't feel challenged. We don't feel converted. Amen. We come to church and we put on a good show and a good front, but when we leave, we're beat up and broken on the inside. Nothing's happened to help us on the inside. Amen. He said, you've lost it. You lost your first love. You've lost your love for me. Amen. So he rebukes them and he notices that you don't feel the same way you felt about me when we first got together. Oh, come on and say amen. You know how it is when you first get together, you want to spend time with each other. You want to talk all the time. Now, if somebody stopped talking to you, you got a sense that something's wrong. If he ain't texting you, something's what? If he hadn't called you, then something's, if she ain't checked in on you and seen if you're all right, something's wrong. So they had disconnected themselves from God. But they were still functioning as a church. Come on and say amen. But then he tells them, after he rebukes them, he calls them to repent. He said, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. And what? Repent. And do the what? First works, or else I will come to thee quickly and will remove your candlestick out of place, except you repent. What is he saying? He said, I placed you there, and I've given you light. Amen. He said, but I'm coming and I'm going to remove that light. So all you'll be doing is going through the motions and functioning in darkness. And when you function in darkness, you can't really see your way and you don't know what the way is. You can't see what trouble is out there. You don't know what's going on. You're walking in darkness and you feel like you're in a dark place. And we can never get that way as a church. We need to make sure we're following his lead and we're walking in the light, because the Bible says his word will be a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. We need to know that his word is present. Their focus had gotten into works and they wasn't back in love with the word of God. We get so focused on the works that we do and the stuff that we become, and we forget that our focus should be falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. Fall in love with the word of God. I don't get nothing else. I want to get the word. He said, but look, I'm going to remove your candlestick except you learn how to repent. He called them to repent. He says, you got to do what I want you to do. You got to turn from what you're doing. You got to face me. You got to come toward me. Draw nigh unto me. Come on and say amen. But then verse 6 says, but this thou hast, that thou hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And so he's still recognizing, rebuking, and calling them to repent. He said, but you've hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And boy, that Nicolaitans is a great wonder to some people, but you got to understand their doctrine and their teaching. And he talked to another church, and he said that you hate the doctrine, and you go against the doctrines of the Nicolaitans and the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Look at this. The Nicolaitans, the word Nico in the Greek means control. Laity means the laity, control. The church preach anyway. You got to understand the doctrine of the Nicolaitans was that they control every area of a person's life. They controlled them and they presented themselves as God. Told them how many children they can have. Told them where they needed to go, where they needed to be, who they needed to be married to. When you got people controlling your life like that, that's the doctrines of the Nicolaitans that God said he hates. He don't want you, the preacher, controlling. He want to be in control through the Holy Spirit. You follow me because I'm led of the Spirit, not because, preacher, what you think. And I tell you what I think, and you go do everything I think. If I tell you something wrong, you blame me. Well, look, I don't want to be responsible for that. Let's pray and see what thus saith the Lord. When people control your life, when people try to control your every move as if you're a chess piece at a chess game, then something is very wrong. You need to get away from them. Preach anyway. Oh, my Lord, if they're trying to control, if they say, no, you didn't do what I say, so they mad with you and they preaching on you and they ain't talking to you, there's a problem there. That's the Nicolaitans. They controlling the laity, trying to control the church and turn it the way they want to. There ain't but one head of the church, and his name is Jesus. I ain't died for the church. Even but maybe one or two I'd die for in here. Amen. So who am I to control the church that Jesus' blood has bought and purchased? How can I control another person's wife? Oh, I'm going to leave that alone. I hear you, Sister Rose. I'm going to leave it. We look at the recognition. I'm almost done. We look at the rebuke that he's given. Then he calls us to what? Repent. Verse 7, then he tells us of a reward. He says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He tells the church to return to their first love. He tells them that I recognize your good deeds, but he rebukes them for falling away and putting some distance between them and the one they first fell in love with. You know how it is when you first fall in love with God? Can't nobody tell you nothing about the Lord because you're going to read and you're going to know. Can't nobody tell you to pray because you already did that. They can't tell you to praise because you come in the house and in into the gates with thanksgiving and into the courts with what? Praise. You're thankful unto him. You come in blessing his name. They ask you how you're doing. I'm blessed and highly favored. Oh, come on and say amen. Then you get up and you testify. You save, sanctify, filled with the Holy Ghost, burning fire. Come on and say amen. You're all of that when you first come to him, first get to know him. But then now you're telling people how bad off you are. I just don't know what to do. Before, you knew what to do because you knew that if I just get on my knees and pray that I know that that everything will be all right. It looked like when you open your mouth to pray, it seemed like when you first fell in love, it looked like if you thought about something, God did it for you. And now all of a sudden you're feeling like, oh boy, he ain't doing it like he used to. But he said for us to be what? Patient. He's teaching us that, and he tells us that we need to repent. The word repent, it means to turn, right? But then the real meaning of the word repent, it means to return back to the place you was. P-E-N-T, pent, it's just like being in a penthouse, a high place. He's telling us that you need to come from your low estate and return to the high place in God that I once had you. One time you were higher than that. One time your thinking was on a higher level. One time your prayer was on a higher level. One time your discernment spiritually was on a higher level, but you've returned to a low level because you've fallen out of love with me. And then when you get back in love with him, you start getting on the higher level. I don't fool around with that kind of stuff. I ain't got time to put up with that foolish talk because I'm on a higher level. I don't have time to gossip. I don't have time to mind other people's business and be a busybody because I'm busy on a higher level doing the work of God. Do I have anybody here that say I'm trying to get back on a higher level? Tell your friends, tell your family, you know what? No offense. I just can't do that anymore. I can't come drinking with you because I'm trying to go on a higher level. I'm not going to be drunk with wine, but I'm going to be drunk by the Holy Spirit and be filled with the Holy Ghost. I wish I had somebody. Oh, you need to tell those people that I'm not into lying, and I don't even want you to lie to me because I'm here to tell you the truth and to receive truth because I'm trying to go to a higher level. I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high call that is in who? Christ Jesus. And so Jesus said that the prince of this world, the god of this world, the devil, he cometh and he has nothing in me. And if Jesus said he ain't got nothing to do with the devil, neither should we have anything to do with the devil. Do I have anybody here? He said, what does darkness and light have in common? They don't have anything in common because darkness is the absence of light. And so they don't have anything in common. They can't mingle with each other. They can't hang out with each other. And neither should we be hanging out in darkness. Do I have anybody to preach to in here? But he said, he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. We have to open up our spiritual ears. We got people that come to church and they don't hear nothing. They come to church because they haven't turned on their spiritual ears to be able to hear what God is saying. They're looking for somebody to call them out and tell them a word. But sometimes you got to get so mature that if nobody don't call your name and say, thou said the Lord, thou God said, and speaking to King James as if God is speaking. Let me tell you something. God don't speak King James. He speak what you speak. Preach. Oh, we got to get past all that. So all this mystical stuff and realize that the word of God is still speaking to us. We need to understand that when God speaks, he speaks through his word in the beginning anyway. Oh, come on and say amen. And he's not going to contradict what he's already said because that's just against God. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. We need to understand something here. We need to understand that we got to develop an ear for what the Spirit is saying because the Spirit is always speaking. The Spirit is just like a radio station. He's always speaking, but we got to dial in. We need to lock our dial in on what the Holy Ghost is trying to tell us. And you know what? Hearing is so important that the Bible says in Romans, he tells us, he said, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We need to know the only way that we can grow in faith, the only way that you can really get that stuff that you've been asking God for is to have faith in God. He will reward you if you have faith, but you got to hear the word. If I give you a prophecy, so-called prophecy, it could be something that I'm thinking up. But guess what? If I know it said it in the word, I ain't got to worry about it. I don't have to call you out and say, I feel like God telling you that he gonna give you a house. He said in his word that he'll give you houses that you didn't build. Preach anyway. I don't have to come prophesy to you and say God says he love you. He said that he first loved you anyway. That God so loved the world that that he gave his only begotten son. Preach anyway here. I wish I had a few people that understood what I'm saying. I don't have to do all of that so you know that God loves you. You need to know that he loves you because Jesus died. But he loved you so much that Jesus rose. And he still loves you because Jesus is coming back to receive you as his own. Do I have anybody here that can agree with me that we need to return to our first love? If you return to your first love, you ain't got to seek nobody else. If I seek God, then he'll bless me. I don't have to seek somebody in Alexandria. Oh, come on and say amen. I ain't got to drive to Shreveport or go to Houston to get a word. I can seek God and he'll give me a word, and sometimes he'll give it through my 12-year-old. He'll give it through my 17-year-old. He'll give it through my wife. Oh, come on and say amen. We got to know that God will speak anywhere, anytime, because he's not only the God of the mountain, but he's the God of the valley also. He'll fight your battle wherever you are if you would just seek him and return to your first love. You see, he said, he that had an ear. What I learned is that one of the first organs developed on a baby is the ear. Before they fully develop, they already have ears to be able to hear. So that's why they say around the first trimester, you can start talking to the baby. And the baby can get familiar with voices already while it's in the womb. So why is that? God said it's so important for you to hear, so important for you to hear word, that's one of the first things he gives you is an ear to hear. That's why you can read the word to that baby. Oh, come on and say amen. Anoint that belly on that woman and read the word to that baby. That baby will come out like pure gold. Just look like that's just the purest little baby. Look like they just a good little child. But they learn at a point of time when you stop reading to them, they learn how to cuss. They learn how to do other stuff. They learn how to lie. But if I just keep the word before them, even though the enemy's trying to get them to do that, they'll turn back to their first love. They say, I love the Lord too much that I'll keep going this route. See, that's why you got to hear the word. He didn't say faith come by reading, but faith comes by hearing. God forbid you stay at home and say, I'm just going to read my Bible. I'm just going to read a book I bought from the bookstore. The devil is a lie. You can't increase in faith when you're at home. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves, even the more so as you see that day coming closer. You need to be in the house of God, receiving a word from God, so that you'll be encouraged by God, so that you can be healed by God and delivered by God. Do I have anybody that say, I'm with you, preacher? I want to hear the word. I need to hear what God is saying, and I want you to know that God loves you, or else he wouldn't have given you this message. He would have gave you a message of something else that he really wants to destroy you. But he said, no, I don't want to destroy you. I want to love you. He said, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. I'm going to draw you closer to me. You can't outlove me. If you draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. Do I have any witnesses? Come on and say yes. When we look at what he says here, he said, and the Spirit said unto the church, to him that overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life. He said, we must overcome. Don't you succumb to all of your trouble, all of your trials. Don't let your sickness get you. Don't let trouble get you. Don't let tribulation get you. You got to get to a place where you say, I'm going to overcome. You see, I'm more than a conqueror through him that loves me. I am an overcomer. Well, preacher, how do I overcome? I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my own testimony. I got the blood of Jesus that comes and cleanses me. I'm covered by the blood, but I testify that I love him and he loves me. Oh, come on and say yeah. Come on and give God praise. You got to understand that no weapon that's formed against you will be able to prosper. Come on and say yes. You got to understand that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from them all. You got to understand that he gave his life. He said that with his stripes, you are healed. Somebody ought to catch that one there. I'm healed because Jesus was smitten. I wish I had somebody. I wish I had a few people that say, I'm with you, preacher. Let's return to our first love. Our first love. The first love is the one who loves me. He loved me first. So he took up an old rugged cross, went up a hill called Golgotha, the Via Dolorosa. He walked up that road, but the Bible says that he went down on the cross. He said, no man take it my life, but I lay it down for my friends. That's love. Come on and say yes. He died. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. And he died because he loved me. He had me on his mind. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. You need to tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, in case you didn't know, before I committed the first sin, and while I was committing sin, Christ died just for me. But not only did he die, but early, help me preach, say early, say early, Sunday morning, he got up with all power. He gave me power because he loves me. Power to walk right, power to talk right, power to live right. Do I have a witness? Say yes, say yes. Say yes. Ain't he all right? I want you to see here. He said, will I give him to eat of the tree of life? And so in other words, you'll be able to eat what sinners can't eat. You'll be able to live and never die again. Do I have a witness here? But then he also says, he said, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. If I overcome, if I just hold my hope, like the old people would say, if I stand my ground, if I stand with my loins girt about with truth, come on and say yes. If I hold on to God's unchanging hand, I'll end up in paradise where I can eat of the tree of life and never die again, never hunger again. Do I have anybody that said, preacher, I want to eat of the tree of life? Well, let me tell you how David said it. He said, he prepares a table before me so I can eat. Come on and say, yeah. Anybody here? Say, Lord, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for the word. I'm hungry for your love. I'm hungry for your joy. Somebody say, yeah. Say, yeah. I know he's all right. I may not know. Would y'all help me preach it? I'm about done now. If you don't realize, you need to go back to your first love. You need to check yourself before you wreck yourself. You need to look at yourself and see if you're really in love with God, or if you're really in love with people. If that man leave you tomorrow, will you still stay with God? If you lose your job tomorrow, will you still say, I love God? If people lie on you and talk about you, will you say, I love God? I don't care what you say, and they say, and us say, or the street committee say. One thing I know is he loves me. He loves me. Say yes. Say yes. I know he's all right. I may not know three things, and I may not even know two things, but one thing I know, I know he's all right. How you know he's all right? Because he loves me. Because he woke me up early this morning, started me on my way, gave me food, clothed my back, say yes, shoes on my feet, gas in my tank. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? Because every time, I know he's all right, because every time I turn around, the Lord, say the Lord, he keeps on
blessing me. Say yes. Anybody with me? That every time I look around, I see what the Lord has done. By the time I turn around, I see what he's going.